Well, good morning, Redeemer. Good to see you guys. Joe's off for the day. He's doing a wedding later, so he's asked me to preach. I'm very excited to preach to you guys as my church family. Let's go ahead and get started. To start with, have you ever had this situation where you've left one room and tried to walk into another room and you've had some sort of goal in mind, but by the time you get to that room, you completely have forgotten what you were doing? Like, well, okay, I was doing something. What in the world was I looking for? Was I trying to get a pen? Was it something that simple, or was it something bigger? What was I doing? You have a goal in mind. You get there, but by the time you get there, you have no idea what you were looking for. You kind of lose sight of the mission and the goal in the midst of trying to do it, if that makes sense. Maybe something distracted you that caused this. Maybe, you know, you start worrying about, you know, something else you've got to do later in the day. You start thinking about, okay, I gotta go. I gotta get car washed. I've gotta, you know, go to the bank. I gotta run by. You know, I gotta do these errands. You know, something like that may distract you, or maybe some other worry or concern that you have on your mind has distracted you, or, you know, as it often is, maybe somebody else in your house has stopped you along the way, and they've got to talk to you. They've got some other concern to ask you about. But for whatever reason, you've gotten off track. You forget, you know, what exactly you're trying to do and what your goal and what your mission is. Well, I bring that up because I think the very same sort of thing can happen to us in the church, where we can forget what our goal and what our mission is in the midst of trying to do it. We can forget what it is we're doing and why it is that we're doing it. And because of that, I'd like today to serve as really one big reminder of what our goal and what our mission is. That's kind of the point. What our goal and what our mission is as the church, a reminder of why we do what it is that we do here. So as we're doing that, would you turn with me to Ephesians 4, verses 15 and 16? That's going to be our main text for the day. Now, as you're turning there, I'll give you a little bit of context in Ephesians, just a little bit of backdrop. Paul is writing to the churches in the area in and around Ephesus. And he's writing, it's interesting with this epistle, he's writing with no specific occasion, no specific purpose. There's not some big glaring oversight or problem that Paul's trying to address, which is different because a lot of the epistles are that. There's some sort of elephant in the room that's being addressed that Paul's getting at. That's not the case here. It's really just general encouragement and instruction for the church, for the churches in and around Ephesus. And because of that, it's going to serve as general encouragement and instruction for the churches at large, for us. So, go ahead and read Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. It says, "Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love." We're not going to unpack the whole text, but here's the main point that Paul's getting at here, is that growth in Christ needs to be at the center of what we're doing. It needs to be a goal. It needs to be happening. Growth in Christ should be constantly happening within the church. We should make it our aim to see one another grow and mature in Christ, to become more and more like Jesus, to mature as Christians. Growth should be really at the center of what we do. Should be the point. It's not just getting together for getting together's sake, to see one another grow and mature in Christ. And Paul says in verse 16 here, says when the body is working properly, or when the church is healthy, that's going to be happening. The sign of a healthy church. And when I say growth, I'm not talking about numbers. Though that can be a sign of a healthy church, but that is not in any way, you know, indicative that the church is healthy. You can have churches grow that aren't healthy. I'm not just talking about attendance. I'm talking about growth and maturity in the members, in the individual members in the body of Christ. Another passage that comes to mind that further clarifies this goal is Colossians 1, 28 and 29. If you want to flip there, go ahead. I'm just going to read it. Where Paul says, "Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me." Here we see that our goal and our mission as the church is to present everyone mature or complete in Christ. And in this text, you're going to see Paul broaden the mission even a little bit more. That our goal as Christians in the church is to see not only one another grow and mature in Christ, but to see everyone grow and mature in Christ, those inside of the church as well as outside of the church, to see non-Christians and the lost grow and mature in Christ. How is that possible? Well, something's implied here. In order for the lost and those that don't know him to grow and mature in Christ, don't they have to meet Jesus first? Yeah. They've got to become followers of Jesus before they can really mature in him, right? Which leads to our next point. Colossians 1:28 sounds a lot like another memory verse we should all know. In Colossians 1:28 says, our goal is to present everyone mature and complete in Christ. All peoples. All nations. Right? Go to Matthew 28:18-20. Now here we have Jesus lay out the Great Commission, his instructions for the church from then on out. Here Christ says this. And Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. Now notice that Jesus here instructs us as the church to make disciples and not just converts. What's the difference? What do I mean by that? Well, the goal to make disciples is much deeper than just conversion. A disciple is not only somebody who, they not only profess faith in Jesus for salvation, but they seek to follow him, they seek to grow, they seek to mature in him. That's what a disciple is, and we're instructed to make disciples. So now, if you go back to Ephesians 4:15-16 and look at that in that light, isn't Paul here just echoing Jesus in the Great Commission? Right, that's really what he's doing. So to clarify, the goal and the mission of the church based on those three texts, based on those three verses, is this. It's to play an active part in seeing people come to faith in Jesus by preaching the truth of the gospel to them and then helping them to mature and grow in Christ. That is our goal, to help them come to the faith and then continue in it. Our goal is to make disciples. Now, as Reformed theologians in this church, I know a lot of us are probably thinking something to the tune of, yes, the Great Commission, sure, Seth, yes and amen, I understand that, but isn't our goal as the church to glorify God, to bring God glory? Yes and amen, don't mishear me. Yes, that is our goal. But one big way that God has instructed us to bring him glory is actually through the Great Commission, right? Through the making of disciples, God is glorified. That God is glorified through people coming to faith in Jesus and then growing and maturing in him, correct? Now, for example, you don't have to flip here, but in Ephesians 1, we have an example of the fact that when God saves and redeems sinners, he saves and redeems them not only because he loves them, but more importantly, because it brings him glory to do so. It brings him praise and honor. In saving and redeeming terrible sinners like ourselves, God is showing off his patient, loving, gracious character so that he would be glorified. So, in us being obedient to the Great Commission, in our charge to make disciples, God will use us as instruments to draw sinners to himself, and he will save and he will change and redeem them, and through this, God is glorified. So in turn, us being obedient to our mission to make disciples brings God glory. Amen? Now, that's all well and good, but how do we do that practically? What do we need to do in order to see people, to see everyone mature and grow in Christ? Well, Paul's going to lay out in Ephesians 4:15, he's going to speak of one major way we can see this, we can do this, we can see this happen. So again, Ephesians 4:15. It says, rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. One major way we can see maturity and growth happen inside the church and outside the church is to speak the truth to one another in love. And that being said, what's the truth we need to hear? What is the truth we need to hear about the most and the most often? The most important truth we can possibly speak or hear? The gospel of Jesus Christ. The gospel tells us that on our own, we are filthy, unrighteous, unworthy sinners, dead in our sins and in slavery and bondage to sin. But that God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, sent Jesus to make us alive together with him, to cleanse us from all our unrighteousness with his blood, and to redeem us from slavery, to release us from bondage to sin by his blood. And that all of this is accomplished on the cross, where Jesus takes all of our sin onto himself. He becomes sin for us and dies as our sacrificial lamb. On the cross, all of the wrath that God should pour out on you and I because of our sin is poured out on Jesus instead in our place. And Jesus gives us his perfect righteousness in exchange for our sin. Not only is our sin dealt with and paid for by Christ's blood shed on the cross for us, but Jesus serves as our representative, our second Adam. And because Jesus was sinless and perfect, we are counted sinless and perfect if we would simply repent of our sin and turn to Jesus and trust in him as our only way to salvation, our one and only Savior and King. And through Jesus' death, we are made right with God. We are reconciled to him. Through Jesus, we go from being enemies of God to being friends of God and members of his kingdom and family. Through Jesus, we go from being dead in our sins to alive in Christ. We are freed from slavery and bondage to sin. And because of that, we can and we will walk in newness of life. We can change and we will by God's grace. God does all of this for us by grace, by unmerited, undeserved favor. He gives us the free gift of salvation in Christ, a gift that we can never and will never earn or live up to or pay back. And because we could not and did not earn God's love and favor to begin with, we cannot possibly lose it once we are members of his kingdom. That's the gospel. Amen. Praise God for all he's done for us through the gospel. Now, that is what we need to speak and what we need to preach to one another in love. That is the truth that needs to be a constant thing that we preach to one another. And that the preaching of the gospel to one another in love will lead to growth and maturity in Christ. So Paul's laying out here. Now, how? And how do we do that? How do we make this happen? How do we go about speaking the truth to one another in love? How do we go about preaching the gospel to one another? Well, I think we need to speak the truth of the gospel. We need to preach the gospel to one another in love, specifically and precisely to specific issues. I'll give you a couple of examples. For one, you meet somebody who says something like this, and this is a common thing. You'll run into this a lot. Somebody says something to the tune of, "I just feel like I'm too far gone to be a Christian. I feel like I'm too sinful, I'm too filthy for God to love me, for God to accept me. I feel like I've done just far too many terrible things for God to forgive me." Well, the gospel says you're right in that on your own, you are too filthy and you are too sinful to be accepted by God. But Christ's blood cleanses you of your filth and unrighteousness, that Christ has already paid the debt that you owe. And that because he was perfect in your place, you will be perfect if you repent and trust in him for salvation. You'll be counted as perfect. Truth is, no one measures up, but that Jesus came and measured up for you and I. That's what the gospel says to that issue. Another example, say you've got a Christian friend, maybe somebody in your community group, who feels this way. They may say something like this. They feel like, you know, I just keep struggling with this particular sin, and it's just never going to end. I'm never going to change. I feel like I'm not going to go anywhere. I'm just stuck. The gospel says Christ has freed you from slavery and bondage to sin, and that you can change, and that by God's grace you will, that we are all in process. None of us are sinless. None of us are perfect, and none of us are sinless until we die or Christ returns. Right? So don't get discouraged. You can and will change, and God in his grace has given you the Holy Spirit to empower you to change and to grow in Christ. That's what the gospel says for that issue. We need to speak it. We need to unpack it precisely and specifically to specific instances as they arise. That's how we speak the truth to one another in love. And who do we speak the truth of the gospel to? Again, everyone, Christian and non-Christian, those inside of the church and those outside of the church. Our goal, again, is to see everyone come to know and then mature in Jesus. Now, that being said, speaking the truth in love is going to be hard. It's going to be taxing. It's going to be difficult sometimes because we're sinners, right? The gospel itself starts with what? Well, confronts us in our sin, confronts us about our own sinfulness and our own filthiness. The truth is really going to hurt sometimes. That's the reality. It's going to be hard. It's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be painful sometimes to say to one another. And it's going to be hard. It's going to be uncomfortable. And it's going to be painful to hear from one another sometimes. In fact, I'll give you an example. This week, one of my really good friends, Greg, really good guy, told me some hard truth that I didn't want to hear. Him and I work at the same place, and we started relatively the same time. And he basically told me, he said it very nicely. He gave me a lot of grace, but he was like, hey, you might want to work a little harder at learning some more things at work. I know you don't work that many hours, but that probably would be a good idea so you're more proficient. Now, he said it very graciously, but that really hurt my pride and my ego, and I did not want to hear that. Because in my head, I think I'm the greatest employee that's ever lived ever. That's how I like to think of myself, which I'm not, right? The truth is I do have an issue there. I can struggle with laziness. I often do. I can struggle with, well, this isn't really the thing I want to do. This is just sort of the thing making me money for now, so don't really care. Right, I'm looking to plant the church. I'm just trying to make money, whatever. That is lame. That is a terrible attitude. And so, you know, Greg, to give him credit, he, you know, was very gracious with me, but he told me some hard truth. And I didn't want to hear that. But it's definitely true. And the truth is, God used Greg to point out my bad attitude. I needed that. That truth was very hard to hear, but the reality is, I absolutely needed to hear it. And that it's for my good that I heard it. It's for my sanctification. It's for my growth in Christ that I heard it. Hearing that truth helps me to become more like Jesus, right? Now I've got some sin to repent of. Now that is what should motivate us and fuel us to speak the truth in love to one another, even when it's hard, is the fact that it's going to lead to one another's growth in Christ. And that's our mission. Even when it's hard, that's where it's going to lead. And when we hear hard truth like that, we need to know that it's being said in love. You know, in Greg's case, he said it because he cares and he wants to see me grow in Christ. We need to know that that's the case. And if we're saying hard truth, we need to make sure that that's why we're doing it. Because we could just being harsh or getting frustrated and impatient. We need to make sure we're saying hard truth for good reason. Or to see them grow and mature in Christ. It's out of love, right? Now, it's just an example. I've heard harder things before. I've said harder things. We're going to have to hear harder things from one another as a church. We're going to have to say harder things than that to one another. But we do so knowing that it's going to lead to growth and maturity in Christ. That's why we do it. Now, all that being said, how do we do this here at Redeemer? How do we speak the truth in love to one another? And how do we see people come to know Jesus and then grow and mature in him here in our context at our church? Well, here's a couple examples. I know some of you may be sitting here thinking, you know, I'm a mother. You know, I've got kids. You know, I'm a father. I'm single. You know, I'm a husband. You know, I'm a wife. Or I'm just a kid. Or, you know, I work 60 hours a week. You know, we all have different, you know, situations that we're in. How do I do this? I've already got a full plate. How do I make this happen? What's a way I can practically be on mission to see people grow and mature in Christ? Well, I'd say a couple things. One, we need to speak the truth in love to those who are in front of us to start with. Who's in front of you? Speak the truth in love to them. If you're a mom, if you're a dad, speak the truth in love to your kids. Speak the truth in love to your husband and wife. If you're a kid, speak it to your peers. If you're whoever's in front of you, speak the truth in love to them. Preach the gospel to them to start with. Secondly, there are several prime settings in our context and what we're doing as a church to speak the truth in love in. Both inside of the church and outside of the church. For one, inside of the church, for us, in our community groups, this should be happening. We should say hard truth when it needs to be said. We should encourage each other when it needs to be said. We need to be preaching the gospel constantly in community groups and then in our fight clubs or discipleship relationships, however you want to think about it. But we need to be speaking truth to one another in those, preaching the gospel in those. If not, we're wasting our time. Or outside of the church as well, we need to go out into the community and speak the truth to them, preach the gospel to them. You know, places like coffee shops and restaurants, wherever your regular place is, would be a good example. But also, who's in front of you there? Who are your non-Christian friends? Speak the truth to them. Don't hide the truth, just say it. You know, let God convict and encourage. And if you're sitting here thinking, you know, I don't have that many non-Christian friends, because that happens to me a lot, get so caught up in the church that you realize, wow, I'm only hanging out with Christians. We need to fix that. Get out in the community and find them. There are lost people all over the place. Preach and speak the gospel into their lives. Speak it to who's in front of you first. Now, with all those things being said practically, in order for that to work, we have to value honesty. We have to be honest with one another. We have to be transparent with one another, because otherwise this whole thing doesn't work. You know, I can sit here and not tell you the truth about where I'm at and what I'm struggling with. That's not going to help you speak the gospel into my life, right? We've got to be open. We've got to be transparent for this to work. We've also got to know how to preach the gospel to one another. So that means you've got to know your gospel. You've got to know all the ins and outs and working parts of what God has done for you in Christ in order to unpack that specifically to specific issues, right? So we got to keep studying it. You know, we can't ever settle and get complacent about our knowledge in Christ and our growth in Christ ourselves. And again, with all these things, our goal is growth and maturity in Christ. Now, why talk about this today? Some of you may be thinking that. Why now? Where is this coming from? Well, I think for a couple reasons. I think it's very pertinent. For one, we're much like the Christians in Ephesus. There's no big glaring problem right now. Right? There's no huge elephant in the room we need to address. We don't have false teachers running around all over the place. And this, we don't have things, the wheels aren't falling off. Right? There's no big glaring problem. In fact, things are going really well for us at Redeemer as a church. We're growing. You know, people love Jesus. People love the gospel here. We have good fellowship. We have good community. We have a healthy, robust gospel-centered theology. There's a lot of very good things to be said, right? But here's the reality we need to keep ever-present in our minds. We are sinners, and we can get easily distracted no matter how good things are going right now. We could easily get off track in several ways, so I want to unpack a couple that I think it could happen. For one, when things are going really well, there is a huge temptation to just coast. Just, hey, it's going good. Just let off the throttle a little bit. I'll let off the gas because things are going well. I bring that up because I'm feeling that right now. I've been talking to, you know, Greg, you know, as I brought him up earlier, I've been talking to him and some of my other buddies about this temptation. With all the things going on in my life, all the different changes on the horizon, I'm going to be married in March. I'm very excited about that. God's calling me to plant the church. All these different things happening. I just have this huge sense and temptation in my own heart to just go, just kind of let off the gas, let it ride. Hey, I've been working hard. Hey, things are good. Let's just let it ride for a little while, right? I told my guys when I was talking to them about our community group, you know, I have a huge temptation right now to just pick a book of the Bible and go through it. Absolutely not pray about it, not think about, you know, what's going to be for the good of the community group, what's going to be what they need to hear and what they're going to glean from. Just kind of pick something and go, like, whatever, right? Anybody else feeling this? I mean, it's just a huge temptation when things are going well to just let off the gas a little bit. I think that could easily happen for us. And the truth is, the mission to see people grow and mature in Christ is what separates us as a church from a country club. Without the mission, what are we doing? We are wasting our time. Now, don't get me wrong, fellowship is good, it's great. The problem is when that becomes the end. It's like, hey, that's all we're really doing. That's the problem. We need to be about gospel growth or we're wasting our time. Or perhaps here's another way we could get off track, perhaps even more dangerous for us. We could just get so caught up in the day-to-day that we lose sight of the mission, that we lose sight of the goal. We get so caught up maybe in the daily grind that we just forget what we're doing. We get into such a routine that's embedded into us, get up, go to work, come home, go to sleep, get up, go to sleep, the same thing over and over again, that we kind of sleepwalk through the week. We forget what we're doing, and by the time Sunday rolls around, it's just the time to get together, we learn something from Joe, and then we go home and forget everything we just did. We can become like Christian zombies. We can become like the walking dead in the church if we're not careful. We can get stuck in autopilot. We just forget what we're doing and why we're doing it. You know, we, like Israel, are a forgetful people. We could easily get so caught up in the daily grind that we just forget about the goal, forget about the mission to make disciples and to see people mature in Christ. How many times did Israel forget everything, actually? We're the same people. We're not any different. We could do the same thing. In the midst of doing our thing as a church, we could forget what it is we're doing and why we're doing it, just like forgetting we walked into a room, why we went there. What was I doing? I walked in here, I just don't know why. Right? What am I doing? I'm leading a community group, I'm just not sure why. I don't know what that could easily happen. Or another way we could get off track is we could simply get a fragmented view of the mission. All right, we could get so focused, here's a couple examples. We could get so focused on evangelism that we forget about the church. It's so focused on the people outside of the church, we forget about people growing inside of the church. Or the other way around, we could get so focused on us here as a church that we completely forget about the people outside of the church. Right? I mean, that's a definite possibility. We could start thinking things like this. We could start thinking things like, man, I really want to get out there and preach the gospel to the lost. I want to see people come to know Christ. I see the world changed by the gospel, but we've got all these hurting Christians and sinful people, and within the church, these sinful Christians got their problems, and everybody's got this issue to deal with, and it's just really distracting me from the mission. They are the mission, right? Us within the church, we are that's the mission, to see them grow and mature in Christ. They're not a distraction. They're part of the mission, right? Or the other way around, we could start thinking something like this. You know, I really want to minister to people's needs within the church. I want to see people grow in the church and mature in the church. I want to see the church get better and better. I really like my church family. I love spending time with them. I want to serve them. But the world's so loud. It's just distracting, and it's in the way, and these lost people and their problems and the culture, I can't. It's just a distraction. We're trying to grow and mature in Christ here. They are the mission. Same thing. They're not a distraction from the mission. They are the mission. It's both. Again, our mission is to see those inside and outside of the church come to know Christ and then to mature and grow in him, to present everyone mature in Christ. It's not one or the other. It's not inside or outside. It's both. Another way we could get off track is very common and easy, is just that we could start viewing the church in a self-centered way. The church becomes all about us. It's all about me. It's all about my growth and my needs. It could become the me show like that. No effort at all. Just, hey, it's about me now. It's not about God. It's not about other people's good or growth. And myself and all the rest of us here are capable of doing that. Now, the beginning analogy about forgetting why we walked in a room, that's a little simplified. Because if you forget why you walked in a room, it's probably not that big a deal. In about 5 seconds, you're going to remember why. It's going to be like, oh, I needed a pen. Like, it's not going to be a big deal. Like, even if you don't remember, you'll figure it out. You know, there's no huge consequences. That's not the case with us forgetting what our mission is. That is serious consequences. Us forgetting our mission and getting off mission and getting off track is more like us forgetting to breathe. There are dire, serious consequences. If we get off mission and stay off mission and enough time passes with us off mission, Redeemer will close its doors and will be just another statistic. I mean, that's the reality. And that hurts just to say. But it's true. For one, if we're not on mission, no new people are coming in. We're all going to die. I hate to be morbid, but no new people are coming in. If we're not engaging the next generation, we will literally die off. And that'll be the end of it. Or we get off mission and stay off mission for long enough. God doesn't need us. He will get it done, right? We misrepresent him for long enough, he'll shut it down. That's true. So in saying that, in closing, I want to unpack several ways that we engage this issue with the gospel, several ways to preach the gospel to ourselves in the midst of trying to be on mission that I think are vital on our mission to see everyone grow and mature in Christ. Here's the first one. Here's the first gospel truth, is that the gospel itself is what motivates us to be on mission. What I mean by that is this. We need to reflect on what God has done for us within the church, those of us that are Christians, what God's done for us through the gospel. We need to reflect on that. And not just in a general sense. I'm not talking about just unpacking it theologically. I mean specifically for you personally. What has God done for you? How has he turned your life upside down? Another question to ask to think about that is, what did your life look like before you knew Christ? It was a disaster. That's true for me and everybody else. It was a disaster. It was hopeless apart from Christ. Look at all that God has done for us and redeemed us and saved us from. Now, there are other people out there stuck in that same disaster that we were in prior to knowing him. Oh, that they would come to know Jesus as we have. That he would rescue them from that same misery that we were in. And we must preach the gospel for them to hear the gospel and then to come to know Jesus, right? We have to be on mission for that to happen. It should be our joy to be on mission, to see other people come to know Jesus and then grow and mature in him as we have, right? If not, if that's not our joy, something is wrong. Either we're extremely self-centered or Jesus is just not big enough in our own lives. And we don't understand all that God has done for us. Number two, God is gracious in that he uses messed up sinners like you and I to accomplish his mission. We need to keep that in mind, because we may be thinking here, as we're thinking about this, about how daunting this is, because it is. We may be wrestling with inadequacy. You know, oh my gosh, I am not up to this task. This is huge. Right, I'm really messed up. I'm a sinner in my own right. I've got all kinds of problems. How am I going to do this? How am I going to be on mission? How am I going to minister to other people and see them grow and mature in Christ? Well, here's the truth. The truth is that no one is adequate. None of us are, but that God uses us anyway. And that our weakness, in fact, brings glory to God, right? That through using us who are inadequate, God shows off how powerful and how glorious and how great he is. And that through that process, it brings praise to him rather than to us. One of my favorite quotes, Darren Patrick, I heard him say it. I'm not sure if he was the first to say it, but either way, I heard him say it once. He said, God uses crooked sticks to draw straight lines. And I love that. That's just the truth. And in saying that, we need to keep in mind the fact that God really is doing all the heavy lifting. You know, yes, you are a sinner, but he's going to do the work through you. You know, you're not on your own. He does all the heavy lifting. And guess what? He empowers you as well. You've been given the Holy Spirit by God's grace to say what needs to be said, to be a mouthpiece, to speak the truth of the gospel in other people's lives. So don't get discouraged and dwell on your inadequacy. None of us are adequate. God uses us anyway because he's gracious and good. Amen? Third gospel truth is the fact that Jesus was perfectly on mission for us in our place. Thank heavens, right? Because we will get off track. We are sinners. It's going to happen. Either it's happening now or will happen later. We're going to get off track. But Jesus was perfectly faithful to the mission to make disciples all the way to the cross, literally to the grave. Jesus was perfectly faithful to the mission, so we, as far as of Christ, are counted as perfectly faithful to the mission. Thank the Lord. Number four, fourth gospel truth is that being on mission will keep us unified and it will keep us centered on the gospel. Because the mission is that the gospel bears fruit in our lives and that we grow and mature in Christ, the gospel is going to be constantly in our minds. It's going to be on the tip of our tongues, so to speak, at all times. And because of that, when things go awry, and they will, we will react in a gospel way. We'll be ready with the gospel because that's what we're thinking about and that's what we're doing and that's what we're dwelling on. All of us here, just look around, we're very different people. But the gospel and the mission to see everyone grow and mature in Christ, the mission to make disciples, unites us. It keeps us unified. The gospel itself unites us. Now in closing, when do we need to stay on mission until? So one of two things happen. Either we die or Christ returns. Right? Until then, we're on mission. We're on mission to see people grow and mature in Christ. There's not a single exit ramp until then. Right? If we've exited, we've barreled through a barricade because there is no exit. Like that, we need to be on that road until either we die or Christ returns, because until then, we're not perfect. And again, our mission is to see people come to know and then mature and grow in Jesus. Everyone, people inside of the church as well as outside of the church. So in closing, let us repent of any other agenda that we have within the church right now, and let us get back on mission. And may God and his grace keep us on mission.